Michael Barisone was a champion. A long-standing dressage horse trainer, he was considered one of the best in the world. Crowds gathered to watch him at events as he expertly maneuvered his horse through choreographed routines, an elegant dance where the horse and rider are harmonious, something Michael once referred to as freestyle figure skating on horseback. At 54 years old, Michael was considered an elite trainer. He was selected to represent the United States as an alternate in the 2008 Beijing Olympic Games. He even coached comedian Stephen Colbert during a 2012 sketch for the Colbert Report. Anyone who wanted to make their way up in the world of dressage looked to Michael Barisone as a mentor and coach. He helped produce champions, including Alison Brock, a 2016 Rio de Janeiro bronze medal winner. Michael was known for his wit and charisma, characteristics often noted by colleagues, friends, and former students. He took on students training at his facilities in both Florida and New Jersey. He moved frequently between the two areas, spending April through November in New Jersey, and then migrating south for December through March in Florida. This provided time to continuously train the animals regardless of the weather. The Long Valley, New Jersey equestrian farm, adequately named Hawthorne Hill, was a sprawling 53-acre estate. This was Michael's home and training center, where he lived with his girlfriend and fellow dressage trainer, Mary Haskins Gray. Together, they were willing to teach anyone the art of dressage if they were ready to listen and try new ideas. Michael took pride in teaching others, even saying, "At the end of the day, if someone has a problem and I can help them get past it and succeed, that makes me happy." This is the same attitude he adopted when a new student arrived at the farm in 2018, Lauren Kanarek. Lauren and Michael met up in 2018 at a horse competition in Florida. They had known each other for a while, but this time Michael was on a mission to recruit Lauren to the Hawthorne Hill farm. He pitched to both her and her fiancé, Rob Goodwin, that their accommodations would be covered if they took him on as a coach. He saw potential in Lauren and was willing to put the time and effort in if she was. Lauren decided that having Michael as a coach would help her achieve her goals of becoming a trainer herself. She had previously been known in the sport as a competitive show jumper who had been competing since her early teenage years, but decided to take on dressage in 2015 as a new challenge.
I was just kind of a little bit bored. I'd been jumping since I was a very young teenager, and I just saw people riding in the discipline of dressage and thought, this looks more fun. Some people might see it as boring, but I thought, this looks fun. I want to try it. It's interesting, and that's what I did.
With the financial support from her father, a prominent lawyer in Livingston, New Jersey, Lauren packed up her belongings and her horses and moved from North Carolina to the Hawthorne Hill farm. Under the agreement, Lauren and her fiancé Rob would live on the farm in an apartment on the property. Her horses would be kept in Michael's stables, and they would pay monthly rent for the horses' boarding while she trained. Michael considered Lauren to be a skilled rider with excellent horses, and he was excited to have another student join the ranks. But the relationship between instructor and student would soon turn sour. Allegations of stalking, squatting, child abuse, intimidation, violence, and bullying would soon occur. Rumors began to circulate through the dressage community. Something was going on at Hawthorne Hill, but no one could quite put the pieces together. That was until everything came to a boiling point on the afternoon of August 7, 2019. At 2:13 p.m., local New Jersey police received a chaotic and frightening 911 call. Dogs could be heard incessantly barking in the background as a woman said, "I've been shot." In the 8-minute 911 call, it's unclear exactly what's happening. At one point, a man's voice comes on the line and says that 3 to 4 gunshots have been fired. Then, more of what sounds like a struggle could be heard in the background. And then, silence. This is Jillian, and in partnership with Law and Crime, you are listening to Court Junkie, episode 203. Millions of Americans experience thinning hair. It's more than common, it's normal. But it's not openly talked about, so going through it can feel lonely and frustrating. Well, it's time to change the conversation and join the thousands of people standing up for their strands with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, clinically shown to improve your hair growth, thickness, and visible scalp coverage for men and women. Did you know that there are multiple causes of thinning hair? Nutrafol is the hair growth supplement that goes beyond genetics to target stress, hormones, nutrition, metabolism, aging, and lifestyle factors that may be impacting your hair. Thinning is different for men and women. Nutrafol has multiple unique formulas for men and women to provide exactly what they need based on their biology and age. Every formula is physician-formulated using natural, medical-grade ingredients for reliable results, without compromises. In clinical studies, 72% of men saw more scalp coverage and 86% of women saw improved hair growth after 6 months. Nutrafol is also trusted and recommended by more than 3,000 top doctors. You can grow thicker, healthier hair and support our show by going to Nutrafol.com and entering the promo code CourtJunkie to save $15 off your first month's subscription. This is their best offer anywhere, and it's only available to U.S. customers for a limited time. Plus, free shipping on every order. Get $15 off at Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CourtJunkie. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for me to get motivated and go work out, whether I feel like I don't have the time or whether I'm just being, you know, too lazy to leave my house. But with Peloton, I find that motivation. Their variety of workouts, the many instructors I love, like Cody and Allie Love, and the fact that I can do it all from my home makes it an easy decision. Peloton instructors are highly trained fitness pros who motivate you through every workout. They all have these unique, fun personalities and have this way of getting you to want to move. And that's whatever your fitness level is. They don't just teach, they motivate. And there are thousands, yes, thousands of live and on-demand classes you can choose from cycling and strength training to yoga and running. Best of all, Peloton fits pretty seamlessly into your life. Maybe you're looking for a 10-minute upper body stretch between calls or a 40-minute run before bed. Peloton works with your schedule, whether you have 5 minutes or an hour. And right now is the perfect time to try out Peloton. The Peloton Bike Plus is now $500 less, its best price yet, including free delivery and setup. And there are more game-changing prices available on the original Peloton Bike and Peloton Tread. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. When the police arrived on August 7th, 2019, they discovered Lauren Kanarek with 2 gunshot wounds to the chest. She was in critical condition, and arrangements were made to transport her to Morristown Medical Center for emergency surgery. Police found her fiancé, Rob Goodwin, subduing someone on the ground. It was Olympic trainer Michael Barisone, laying on top of a 9mm handgun. Michael was arrested and taken to the same hospital as Lauren to address head and arm injuries sustained in the incident. Rob had broken his wrist in the struggle, having gotten into a fight with Michael in an attempt to disarm him, and he claimed to have nearly escaped his wrath. He had allegedly been shot at too, but the bullet missed. Investigators needed no help identifying the people involved in the shooting. They had been to the Hawthorne Hill Equestrian Farm many times before. They had interacted with Michael, Rob, and Lauren. This was the unfortunate ending to a long-standing dispute that had been warned of for months. But little did they know, it was only the beginning. As investigators led Michael away in handcuffs, off the 53-acre property he had spent the last 20 years building his life upon, he only muttered one phrase over and over again. I had a good life. I had a good life. As Lauren Kanarek lay in a hospital bed in critical condition, having had both bullets puncture her lungs, Michael Barisone was charged with 2 counts of attempted murder, crimes of the first degree, and 2 counts of possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose, crimes of the second degree. Rumors began to spread like wildfire in the dressage community. Articles began to circulate on popular news sites like The Chronicle of the Horse and HorsesDaily.com. To those in the horse world, the idea that Michael Barisone could have been behind this was unbelievable. But the question remained, what happened at Hawthorne Hill and why? To answer those questions, we have to go back almost 3 years earlier. In 2016, Michael Barisone had decided to stop actively competing in the dressage circuit. He wanted to focus solely on training, bringing over horses from Europe and building his coaching repertoire. Michael was married at the time to another top-tier dressage rider and Grand Prix winner from the Netherlands, Vera Kessels. They were extremely popular in the horse community, and everyone admired them for their skill set and relationship. The couple had been together for 17 years. They had built the Hawthorne Hill farm together, the home that sat on the land, the state-of-the-art stables, and the beloved training facility, Barisone Dressage. But in 2017, their marriage ended over irreconcilable differences, and the couple filed for a divorce. When Lauren Kanarek first met Michael back in 2017, he was still married to Vera, and the two trained students together. Lauren admired them both greatly. When she made her way from Michael's Florida property to New Jersey for the summer of 2018, Vera was gone. The divorce was almost finalized, and Michael had seemingly moved on. His girlfriend, Mary Haskins Gray, now lived and trained on the farm, a factor Lauren wasn't very excited about. That summer was particularly hard for Michael. The divorce proceedings were all about numbers now. He was set to owe his former wife over $950,000, and they needed to divide the horses amongst themselves. Michael already suffered from depression and anxiety, and the state of his divorce didn't help. He had reportedly come from a rough childhood and had suffered a lot of abuse. He consistently engaged in counseling and therapy to work through his past trauma, but the divorce likely stirred up new feelings for him. Under the training arrangement, Lauren and her fiancé Rob were set to live in the apartment located above the main house on the farm. Michael and his girlfriend Mary lived in the rooms below them. Before Lauren and Rob arrived in May 2019, a water pipe burst in the home, flooding the bottom floor. A full renovation was needed. Michael explained the unfortunate situation to the couple, asking them to find residency close to the farm to continue training in the summer. But they weren't taking no for an answer, even bringing Lauren's father into the conversation. He began to call Michael frequently, threatening legal action if he wasn't able to hold up his end of the agreed arrangement. He insisted both Lauren and Rob had no other place to go, and that Michael had promised living accommodations when he recruited Lauren. Michael eventually gave in, agreeing that the couple could move into the upstairs apartment while he and Mary would continue to live in the bottom floors, despite all the water damage. He asked Rob, a trained carpenter, if he would be willing to renovate the bottom floors and repair the damage. Rob agreed. It was extremely common for Michael's students, or even people housing their horses at his facilities, to have accommodations on the farm, including Michael's assistant, Justin Harden, who originally lived in the apartment now occupied by Lauren. Justin had moved down to the barn area for the summer to make room for the new students. Michael's girlfriend Mary was an accomplished dressage rider herself. Michael and Mary had been longtime friends before becoming romantic partners. Mary trained students on the farm alongside Michael and housed many of her own horses on both of his properties in New Jersey and Florida. Her children from a previous marriage frequently traveled to the farm for vacations and summer holidays. Michael and Mary had the same philosophy for training students. Those who wanted to put the time and effort in would succeed. In court, Mary would later testify that she believed anyone could learn dressage, regardless of skill set. It was all about passion and determination, she said. Lauren and Rob lived rent-free. They paid $2,500 each month for the horses boarded on the facility. Rob, who was unemployed at the time, had no experience in the equestrian world and continued to work as a carpenter around the farm to help pay for other horses that Lauren was boarding in other facilities. Lauren's training started as planned, with Michael as the instructor, but she would later state that their relationship took a nosedive.
There was a time where Justin Hardin had sort of become my main trainer, in a way. And I was not happy with that because I was paying a lot of money for the training specifically of Michael Barrison. And, you know, not to sound indelicate, but I didn't feel like I was paying all this money to be at the, you know, Justin Hardin Academy of Dressage. I was specifically there for a specific trainer. There were other issues as well. He had a drinking problem, which I had brought to Michael's attention. And I guess that's pretty much what had happened.
She jumped from coach to coach, reluctantly utilizing Michael's girlfriend, Mary, as an instructor, too. Mary later described her experience with Lauren as really bad.
Did you express that to the defendant?
Yes.
What was his response?
I'm not really sure how to answer that other than I wasn't able to deal with it anymore. So I asked him to teach her.
According to Lauren, she and Michael at first worked well together. She even credited him with making her a better rider. But eventually they began not seeing eye to eye and training became difficult. In her view, she was starting to be pawned off onto other coaches, from Mary to Justin. And it got to the point where she rarely saw Michael. She was upset because she was paying money to train under Michael specifically and no one else. That was the deal. She believed she was now wasting her money and her time. During the trial, she recalled both Michael and Mary treating her differently.
Ms. Katerek, would you say that you were treated differently if you acted differently from Mary Haskins? With respect to your behavior?
Yes, I was treated differently.
Would you say that you were treated differently if you acted differently than Mary Haskins with respect to your demeanor at the barn?
100%.
Would you say you were treated differently if you acted differently with respect to riding a horse?
Yes.
With respect to the way you dressed?
Yes.
The way you use social media?
Yes.
Could I keep going?
Yes, I mean, you could.
How did that make you feel when you were treated that way in response to the way you were acting?
Bad, honestly. I felt I was being treated unfairly, and I didn't really understand why, but that's the way that I felt about it.
She told the jury about certain issues she was having with Mary specifically.
She was just always condescending, and she was doing strange things like stealing my gloves out of my locker. At least that's what I thought. There was an incident where she I had a bridle that I was using for my ride. And before I went to go put the bridle on that horse, I turned around and she took it off my locker, kind of like the handle of my locker, and walked away with it saying, "This isn't hers. She can't use this," and just walked away with it. And there were other minor little things that happened as well.
By July of 2019, it was clear that the environment around the stables was toxic. Lauren shared her life on Facebook. Many free minutes were spent updating her status, posting pictures, and playing games. And when the tension with Michael and Mary got to be too much, she began posting cryptic messages, venting her frustrations over a situation she considered out of her hands. Lauren vented about the way she was being treated at the stables, naming Michael, Mary, and the company itself. Mary would later testify that she and Michael would sit and look at the posts together, trying to decipher what was going on and what had gone so terribly wrong. She said the incessant Facebook posts from Lauren left Michael terrified.
What effect, what impact did those social media posts have on Michael Barrisone?
We were terrified of what it was building to and what was coming next. He was absolutely petrified and terrified.
She said Michael was absolutely unraveling at this point. Lauren said she was determined to make sure their agreement of receiving some of the best training in the world would be fulfilled. She began recording conversations between Michael and others on the farm as a means of personal protection. She was determined to capture the bullying on tape. She began incorporating quotes from these secret recordings into some of her Facebook posts. In one of them, Lauren wrote that Michael abused and neglected his horses, something Michael's defense attorney would later call a death sentence in the horse community. Michael reportedly became more paranoid, convinced that he was constantly being recorded and even filmed. He expressed his concerns to others on the farm, saying he feared for his and his students' safety and privacy. Michael and Mary hired a bug sweeping company that confirmed several recording devices had been placed at various points in the main house and farm. They hired a private security guard for themselves and other residents on the farm to help them feel safer.
Is it the fact that a private security guard was hired to sit at the top of the hill in front of the stables to guard the stables and the people inside?
That's correct.
Now, were you concerned about just your or your staff's personal safety or the safety of the horses in the stable?
Both.
As the two couples' relationships worsened, Michael and Mary moved out of the farmhouse they shared with Lauren and Rob, instead opting to take up residence in the nearby clubhouse. Lauren allegedly began to skip payments for rent, no longer paying for her horses housed in the nearby barn. According to court testimony, Michael and Mary began to get curious about who Lauren Kanarek and Rob Goodwin were and why things seemed to be getting more and more hostile. They obtained a background check on both of them in July 2019. They would later say they were shocked at what they found. Court Junkie is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Most of you listening right now are probably multitasking. While you're listening to me talk, you're probably also driving, cleaning, exercising, or maybe even grocery shopping. But if you're not in some kind of moving vehicle, there's something else you can be doing right now. Getting an auto quote from Progressive Insurance. It's easy, and you could save money by doing it right from your phone. Drivers who save by switching to Progressive save over $700 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Discounts for having multiple vehicles on your policy, being a homeowner, and more. So just like your favorite podcast, Progressive will be with you 24/7, 365 days a year, so you're protected no matter what. Multitask right now. Quote your car insurance at progressive.com to join the over 27 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2020 and May 2021. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. If you're a court junkie, then you likely never get tired of a good whodunit. In that case, you will love June's Journey. In the game, which you can play right on your phone, you are June Parker, an amateur detective investigating a series of mysteries with all sorts of twists and turns. In Chapter 1, you're investigating the mysterious death of your sister and her husband. Police say it was a murder-suicide, but is that what really happened? It's like a podcast episode that you can play. Not only does June's Journey have compelling storylines, but it's also really fun to play. You can unlock clues by finding hidden objects and talking to various characters. You're truly unlocking your inner Sherlock Holmes here and escaping to the glamorous roaring 20s. It's something I like to play towards the end of the night, a great way to unwind from the day. And with new chapters every week, there's always a new case waiting to be cracked. There is a detective in all of us. Find your inner detective. Download June's Journey free today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Both Lauren Kanarek and Rob Goodwin had prior criminal records, something Michael and Mary hadn't known about before. According to Michael, they discovered that Lauren was banned from living with family members following a domestic conflict. Her background included harassment, stalking, making false reports, and criminal assault. She owned a gun and had previously gotten in trouble twice before for discharging the weapon out of anger or rage. Multiple complaints to Safe Sport, a program designed to ensure safety in Olympic sports, were made regarding harassment from Lauren. As for Rob, he reportedly also had a record of heroin use, criminal conduct, and stalking. Lauren testified at trial that although she had previously been addicted to drugs as a result of a bad injury sustained in her younger years, they no longer played a factor in her life and were not a struggle for her during the summers she trained with Michael.
Have you ever used any drugs in the past?
Yes.
What drugs?
I've used pills. At one point, I made a terrible decision to use heroin. That was mostly it. Oh, pot, probably.
According to testimony, Michael and Mary wanted to ask Lauren and Rob to leave. But due to the escalating Facebook posts and newfound information about their backgrounds, they were unaware how to go about the situation safely. They sought the help of an attorney who notified Lauren that training was over and it was time to leave Hawthorne Hill. Lauren refused, saying the agreement between her and Michael had unfulfilled factors. She was determined to stay. Michael and Mary weren't the only ones seeing Lauren's Facebook posts. Their students, clients, and friends began to see them pop up in their feeds as well, and everyone became concerned over the situation. Posts from Lauren referenced going to war, which put a pit in the stomach of many others who called the farm home. Students and clients who made their way to the New Jersey farm for the summer admitted that the vibe in the barns and stables had taken a steep nosedive. In court, they listed Lauren as the problem. They didn't trust her in the barn or around their animals. They didn't want her on the farm at all. Some of the horses housed at the facility were valued at over $500,000, and no one was willing to take chances when it came to Lauren or Rob. One client in particular, Ruth Cox, took it upon herself to begin sleeping in the barn next to her horses. She said she didn't trust Lauren and feared that she would cause property damage or hurt the animals. Michael also started sleeping on a mattress outside the barn and taking nightly strolls to patrol the farm grounds. Lauren and Rob were given allotted times when they could be in the barn and stables. Nothing past 9:30 p.m. and not until 9:30 a.m. Lauren and Rob were reportedly confused about the treatment they faced on the farm. In their eyes, they were simply trying to have the terms of their agreement met, including training, housing, and boarding for their horses. On July 31st, 2019, according to Michael, an altercation at the horse barn broke out. Lauren and Rob were in the barn outside of their allotted time, which resulted in a dispute. Lauren allegedly made a direct threat to Mary, saying she would personally destroy everything Mary had, from Michael to the farm to her children and her horses. This prompted the first of many 911 calls to the local police.
Yeah, I own this place. I have some people who have been living on this place, and they were told to not be in the horse barn after 9 p.m., and they're in the horse barn. They're scumbags, and I want them warned. They have chased us out of our house, and I need this dealt with tonight.
Lauren and Michael's dispute over the barn times continued on to the next day, and he called the police again.
Tell me exactly what happened.
There is a client. We have a horse stable, and I asked her to go home for the evening, and she won't leave the barn, and she's screaming at me, disturbing the peace for the second time in 3 days.
Okay, my partner, send him help. Just stay on the line. I need some more information from you, okay?
Thank you.
As the summer went on, Lauren continued airing out her feelings about the situation on Facebook, accusing Michael of bullying her in cryptic messages like this one from August 2nd, just 5 days before the shooting. I'm being bullied by a 6'3" man, bullied to the point I'm afraid. It's very complicated. I'm not sure of what I can say here, but it seems as if SafeSport was created for exactly this reason. The following morning, Lauren called the police herself to report a suspicious vehicle near her apartment in the farmhouse and suspicious people threatening to remove them from the property. This was the security team hired by Michael to watch over the farm.
This blacked out SUV with like some guy smoking a cigarette in the front, who I've never seen before, except for last night at 3:15 in the morning, and we overheard them talking about like getting guys to like hurt us, kill us, whatever. We told this to the officers this afternoon, and they know how we have this information and everything.
Seriously. Are you or anyone else in danger right now?
Am I okay? Say it again. Am I what?
Are you or anyone else in danger right now?
We feel very much that we could be, seeing as though this happened the other night.
Michael then called the police again, this time to report a Facebook post Lauren made discussing her split personalities.
Okay, tell me exactly what happened.
These people are on our place. They have been living in our house, in one of the apartment units. They are clients here at our horse stable. The situation is getting worse and worse and worse. The police have been here twice in the last 3 days. They're nuts. They're stalking us. They're harassing us. Last night there was a Facebook post, which is what this woman does. She's
okay.
The Facebook post says, "My split personalities are going to take over, and I am not in control of what they do. We are in fear for our lives."
No, I understand, but what is going on right now?
Nothing. That's why I'm calling you. I talked to a couple of my lawyer. He said, call them right away. Get something going.
His voice was distressed. "We're under siege," he said. Lauren then made a call to SafeSport during the first week of August to report Michael for excessive bullying.
What was the general basis of the complaint or the reason that you called to make a complaint?
There were a few. Mainly it was severe bullying, like torturous bullying. And there was also some stuff in there about body shaming. And that's pretty much it. It was mostly just bullying and scare tactics and things like that. And just a show of, you know, power over someone smaller, basically.
On August 5th, a letter demanding she get off the property was delivered to Lauren by email. She ignored it. And then, in the days leading up to the shooting, an anonymous call was made to the New Jersey State Division of Child Protection and Permanency. The caller reported that Michael was abusing Mary's children. A caseworker visited the farm on the morning of August 7th, interviewing Mary about the allegations in Michael's office. At one point during the meeting, Michael barged into the room and asked both Mary and the caseworker to leave. It was at this point that Michael retrieved a 9mm handgun from the safe in his office. This wasn't his own weapon, but belonged to his longtime friend, colleague, and barn manager, Ruth Cox. He made his way up to the main house where Lauren and Rob resided. He stood outside and asked both Rob, who was on the phone with his attorney at the time, and Lauren, who made her way out onto the front porch, "How can we work this out?" Moments later, shots rang out. Two bullets punctured Lauren's lungs, and a third bullet fired at Rob and missed. From that moment on, their lives would be changed forever. After Michael Barrisone was arrested on August 7, 2019, Lauren Kanarek's family released a statement about her condition, saying, "Lauren is still in the hospital recovering from the gunshot wounds inflicted by Michael Barrisone. She sustained damage to her chest and lungs, and doctors have performed several medical procedures to enable her to breathe. Her condition remains serious. Right now, the family is focused solely on her recovery." Lauren's fiancé, Rob Goodwin, had surgery on August 13th to repair his broken hand, sustained when he disarmed Barrisone in a brawl that ensued after the shooting. Lauren spent the following 3 weeks in the ICU as she recovered from her injuries. It wasn't until December 18th, 2021, when Michael was finally indicted on the charges: two counts of first-degree attempted murder and two second-degree counts of possession of a weapon for an unlawful purpose. He was facing life in prison. A superior court judge ruled that Michael could still pose a threat to others and himself. He decided to hold Michael without bail until trial began. In October 2019, Lauren filed a lawsuit against Michael and his company, Sweetgrass Farms, along with barn manager Ruth Cox, for allowing firearms on the property. She cited experiencing both emotional and physical distress. In the lawsuit, Lauren said Michael and his associates harassed her and her fiancé repeatedly before their final confrontation. Lauren's lawsuit was pushed back by a judge until criminal proceedings for Michael could take place. Soon after, she gave an interview to the New York Times about the shooting and about the immense online bullying she said she had received since. People were wishing her dead, calling her a narcissist, and blaming her for provoking Michael. She began to reply to some of her critics. In one response, she wrote, "No matter what, I was shot twice. It was not in self-defense. While plenty more story exists, what else matters? Do you condone trainers shooting their students, trying to kill them? Sure looks that way." She said she was shocked by the online hate she received. "Every part of my body and soul and mind is just thinking, I should be on my horses riding," she said. "Instead, I was shot." In October 2019, Michael's longtime friend and client, 74-year-old Ruth Cox, was arrested. It was her gun Michael had used in the shooting. She was facing a fourth-degree charge of unlawful transferring of a firearm and faced up to 18 months in state prison. She told officers that she did own a small pink and black 9mm handgun that she used for personal protection as she traveled solo between North Carolina and New Jersey to see her horses. She alleged that Michael had asked her days prior to the shooting if she had brought the gun with her on her most recent trip, having just arrived at the farm 6 days before the shooting. She had, and when Michael asked to see it, she gladly handed it over to him, unaware of what was about to happen. She didn't see her handgun again until after the shooting. It was confirmed to be hers through the registration numbers. Ruth was offered enrollment in the state's pre-trial intervention program, a plan designed to help educate first-time offenders and potentially waive their jail time. If she completed 36 months of the probation period and surrendered her 9mm handgun, the charges against her would be dropped. Both were completed. Michael Barrisone filed a lawsuit himself in July 2021 against 11 police officers and the municipalities they worked for. He cited civil rights violations. He claimed in the lawsuit that the officers did nothing to protect him, despite his reporting of escalated threats of violence from Lauren Kanarek and Rob Goodwin. He accused officers of falsifying reports after being called out to the property over three times leading up to the shooting. He wrote that they continuously advised him that the issues he faced with his tenants were nothing more than private disputes. Michael said he expressed to officers how Lauren's and Rob's veiled threats of violence and stalking were affecting him psychologically and causing severe distress. Quote, a board-certified psychiatrist stated that Barisone was mentally incompetent at the time of the incident, having suffered from mental disease that rendered Barisone to be insane. According to the civil complaint, Michael contended he had no recollection of the shooting. This was the first account of Michael claiming mental incompetency within the court proceedings. But a judge in Morris County, New Jersey, threw the entire lawsuit out in November of 2021. He cited that although Michael's allegations may be true, it wasn't a matter of civil rights violations under the United States or New Jersey constitutions. Michael's trial began on March 28, 2022. He was pleading not guilty by reason of insanity. He was much skinnier now, with grown-out hair. He continuously grabbed tissues to wipe his face, his gaze darting around the courtroom, his eyes bulging out. Opening statements given by Michael Shellhorn Jr. from the prosecution centered entirely around the shooting. He spoke for less than 24 minutes and hinted at jealousy between Mary Haskins Gray and Lauren Kanarek, two women wanting to be the best in the same sport. Shellhorn didn't hide the fact that the two couples didn't get along and fought almost daily. He told the jury, despite anything they may hear to the contrary, Michael Barisone was the only one on trial in the case. No amount of misbehaving or bad blood would result in someone needing to die.
When you go back to delivery and when you go, you're asked to return a verdict, it will not be about Lauren Kenner. It will not be about Rob Goodwin. It will not be about Mary Haskins. It will not be about any other person except this man. This man, the defendant, is the one on trial. So you may hear things that you don't like about Lauren or Rob or Mary Haskins or any of these other people. But saying nasty things, misbehaving, if you want to call it that, none of that is a justification to get shot.
Shellhorn said Michael was no madman. He argued that he knew exactly what he was doing and had become emotional and impulsive. He had his wits about him, and he knew he wanted to kill Lauren and Rob. Opening statements from defense attorney Edward Belinkis took over 45 minutes. He said Michael was not capable of remembering the events of August 7th and that he had been driven into a high state of psychological distress that made any actions incomprehensible to him.
You will hear evidence with respect to the first officer who arrived on the scene. He describes Barisone as partially conscious. The second officer on the scene describes him as incoherent. The third officer recalls Barisone saying over and over again, "Is this real? I need to wake up." He tells all the medical personnel, the first aid people, EMS, Morristown Medical, and all the people at the hospital, when they're treating him, asking him what happened, he tells all of them, "I don't remember. I have no recollection of the event."
He said the prosecution neglected to talk about any of the chaos that came before the shooting.
I'm not going to leave anything out in this opening statement. My client is not guilty. At the time of the shooting, my client feared for his life. He was suffering from a mental disease and did not know what he was doing was wrong.
Belinkis said the relationship between Lauren and Mary was more than just competitive jealousy. He said Lauren was obsessed with Mary and with the divorce between Michael and Vera Kessels.
You will see Lauren Cataract's social media posts that will tell the real story. The scary story. You will learn that Cataract becomes obsessed with Mary Haskins and blames her for all her shortcomings. She believes that Mary Haskins, his girlfriend, is trying to destroy her life, her livelihood, and her thriving career.
He said Lauren's incessant posts on Facebook were signs that something was wrong with her.
You'll see at some point she starts ramping up her social media accounts, starts posting threatening things on Facebook. You'll learn that Michael Barisone, his girlfriend, and other staff members start pulling up her Facebook posts and looking about what she's posting. They see postings of her talking incessantly about guns, carrying guns, sleeping with a 9mm under her pillow. They see posts of her saying that she's being bullied by a 6'3" man and that she's afraid of this person. She talks incessantly about going to war. It's time. War is inevitable.
According to Belenkis, when police arrived, Michael was found under Rob, who was beating him repeatedly on the ground and shouting, "I'm going to fucking kill you." He argued that Michael was a man pushed too far and pleaded with the jury to consider Michael's previous mental health struggles when making their decision. Lauren took the stand to talk about the shooting and said when Michael pulled out the gun, she was trying to talk to him about reconciliation.
So I walked over to him and said, you know, how do you plan to make this better? How do you, you know, you have a bill or some? I was saying something about the bill that he had to settle with Rob, but I didn't get that far because...
Why not?
The minute I started talking, pretty much, or yeah, within the minute I started talking, he pulled out a gun and shot me once, twice, directly in the chest.
Was it close to his body or pointed out and held away from his body?
It was kind of like, pulled it out, pointed it, boom, boom, just like that.
More of the 911 call was played for the jury. In the background, you can hear Rob shouting at Michael, "Don't you fucking move or I will kill you." Mary also took the stand. She and Michael had since broken up. She told the jury that Lauren's behavior became so toxic that she filed complaints to the United States Equestrian Federation against her. She said she and Michael knew they were on their own in dealing with Lauren. She wouldn't leave, so Michael wanted to begin building a case against her to prove once and for all that he was telling the truth, that she was the one harassing him. He told Mary that he could make life for Lauren and Rob very difficult if they continued to refuse to leave the property.
Can you read that text message that the defendant sent you on July 30th?
Yes. I need every single person who has ever been screwed by Lauren, Rob, and the dad. Farriers, vets, trainers, every single one. I'm going to get her a lifetime ban as a competitor.
And are the words "every single person" entirely in capitals?
Yes.
Did he then go on line 9342, approximately three text messages later, to repeat "every single person" all in capitals?
Yes.
Rob testified that he and Lauren continuously hoped for reconciliation with Michael and Mary. That was the reason they refused to leave the farm.
At some point, did you become aware that Michael Barisone wanted you to leave the property, didn't want you to live there anymore?
He was making life difficult at the farm for us to want to stay.
Is there a reason that you didn't just leave?
One, I think there was, prior to that week, I think there was, you know, hopes trying to salvage the relationship. A lot tied up between, you know, Michael and myself, Lauren, like all of us were tied up in some sort of thing. And, you know, ultimately, you know, we would try to, like, to work something out.
He then talked about the shooting in detail.
Did you say anything to him or did he say anything to you?
I looked over to him and, like I said, I thought the position of where he was standing was very, very weird. When I came out, he looked over at me and said, how do we fix this? I don't want a war. And showed me his hands and threw them up in the air. And that's what Michael said.
When you saw Michael Barrison hold up the gun and shoot Lauren, do you remember specifically what you heard?
I heard the gunshots.
And do you remember specifically how you felt at that moment?
I was just kind of frozen in amazement.
He said once the gun went off, he charged at Michael.
What happened after you punched him?
I think I dazed him a little bit. He kind of stood there a little bit. My hand was in complete agony and pain. I think I might have swung at him again. Michael, you know, then turned around, and I didn't know if he was going to chase after Lauren, but as soon as he gave me his back, I took advantage of it.
And what did you do?
Threw him in a chokehold.
And what happened when you put him in the chokehold?
He passed out very quickly.
When he passed out, what happened to his body?
We fell onto the concrete in front of the stairs.
Were you laying on top of him, next to him, or standing or something else?
I was on top of him.
During cross-examination, he said Lauren joined in during the fight that occurred after the shooting, taking Rob's phone and repeatedly bashing Michael in the head. Rob was also asked on cross about the morning of the shooting. Lauren's horses were set to be shoed by a local blacksmith who worked on numerous horses on the farm. He was upset after Michael had allegedly instructed the blacksmiths to not work on Lauren's horses.
When Michael, right there, when the farrier told you and Michael said not to shoe the horses, did you make a physical threat against Michael Barrison?
I do not recall. I do not recall specifically.
Did you communicate this issue and problem to Lauren Cantorac on that day?
I'm sure I may have spoke about her horses not being shod that day. It's a possibility.
When you say it's a possibility, doesn't your text directly address that issue with Lauren Cantorac?
I see the text. I do not specifically remember the text or sending the text on that day, but I can see it's there.
And during that discussion, did Lauren Cantorac tell you to finish the bastard, meaning Michael Barrison?
Objection.
The objection was sustained. Rob testified that they had installed a Blink security camera on the front porch of the farmhouse where the shooting had taken place, but it had been turned off sometime between August 6th and August 7th.
You have no idea, according to your testimony, correct me if I'm wrong, that when you turned off this Blink camera, correct?
Correct. I stated that I was going through the hallway. Lauren was sitting outside, so the camera was making notification sounds constantly. So I turned it off sometime during that.
Ruth Cox, whose gun Michael had used in the shooting, testified that she had only ever interacted with Lauren upwards of 3 times. She said she had no inside knowledge of what happened. She was on a different part of the property when it occurred. She said the horse that she owned and housed there was worth over $200,000 at the time. After hearing about the amount of trouble Michael and Mary were having with Lauren and Rob, she said she was nervous. She feared her private conversations were being recorded or that her animals would be harmed. Justin Harden, Michael's assistant, testified that although he never heard any direct threat made from Lauren and Rob towards Michael, their behavior on the farm affected others. Lauren rarely showed up to lessons and would try to enter the barn and stable after hours, which he said created a bigger problem with the clients who lived there. He was also aware of the social media posts she made and the effect they had on Michael.
What effect did you observe with respect to Michael Barrisone with respect to those?
They made him extremely paranoid and fearful for the farm and everything on it.
Dr. Steven Simring, a psychiatrist, took the stand for the defense to discuss Michael's mental health. He had spoken with him about the shooting, but concluded that each time they met, Michael was unable to recollect anything past jumping in his truck and heading to the farmhouse.
He remembered nothing about the incident itself, and then he talked about the aftermath.
So as far as the actual incident, he was never able to give you any specific details each and every time you talked to him?
That is correct. He gave me no details, and he gave law enforcement no details.
He said that high anxiety, or a hematoma Michael sustained during his fight with Rob, could have caused his loss of memory.
Well, yes, there were many observers, mainly the trained observers from the emergency squad, emergency medical services, and everybody described the same thing. He was oriented to person and place. In other words, he knew he was Michael Barrisone, and he knew that he was on his farm. So he knew that. However, every observer commented that he was confused about what had just happened. Every observer who saw him, there must have been a dozen observers on the scene, in the hospital emergency room, in the emergency bay, at the hospital. Everybody commented that he was confused about what actually happened. And actually, to this day, not to this day, but to the last time I saw him in April of 2020, he still did not remember exactly what happened.
He testified that Michael was obsessive over Lauren's Facebook posts.
He became increasingly panicky. He became obsessed with her posts, preoccupied with her writing, and the more he dug into it, the more panicky he became.
Psychologist Dr. Charles Hassan testified that Michael was and continued to be a delusional person.
Doctor, how do you define a delusion?
I mentioned the other day, it's a belief based on incorrect thinking. Basically, there's an experience, then there's a belief based on incorrect thinking that comes to a conclusion that the person is not going to change no matter what kind of argument you give. So it's a thought that was produced incorrectly. I gave examples when I interviewed Mr. Barrisone of the odd thinking that he had. And I thought it was an unusual, you know, finding. But then I see that some other people completely independent of me, but on a much higher level, have observed the same thing with regards to delusions, that it's a cognitive processing difficulty. Someone from University of Hawaii has written extensively on that. But I didn't know that before I observed those behaviors in him.
Dr. Hassan testified that Michael spent so much time enveloped in Lauren's Facebook posts that he actively believed she was going to attempt to kill him. He said the way Michael viewed the world was heavily swayed by his thinking processes. A paramedic who was on the scene, Kimberly Held, testified that Michael looked to be in an altered mental state when she arrived.
Can you tell me what his mental status was when you were treating him?
Upon our assessment, he was altered and confused.
In his closing arguments, defense attorney Belinkis said Lauren drove Michael crazy. It was her plan, he said. He went over the 20 witnesses who had testified that the man they once knew, Michael Barrisone, was on a steep mental decline because of the tension on his farm. He cited the numerous medical professionals who testified that Michael had a disturbed way of thinking, a delusional disorder. They had a plan to destroy Michael Barisone, he said. Don't let them use you to do the job, to finish the bastard. Find Michael Barisone not guilty. It's the right and just thing to do. Prosecutor Shellhorn told the jury that Michael was acting impulsively, emotionally, and purposefully when he decided to grab Ruth's 9mm handgun and make his way to the farmhouse that August 7th day. He cited the incident with Child Protective Services on the day of the shooting as the tipping point. He's frustrated, furious, you could say. Not frenzied, not frantic, not freaking out, but furious. Maybe seething is a better word. Frustrated, perhaps desperate, emotional. Emotions are not delusions, and he's feeling very emotional at that point in time. In his rage, Shellhorn said that Michael imagined that Lauren Kanarek must have done this. She must have called. She must have reported him for sexual abuse. That's not what happened, but that's what he imagines. And in light of everything that's going on, and for doing that, she has to die. The jury, comprised of 10 men and 2 women, spent the next 18 hours deliberating Michael's fate. On April 14th, 2022, they found him not guilty by reason of insanity for the count of first-degree attempted murder and second-degree possession of a weapon. They found him not guilty on the remaining charges. Michael fell into his attorney's arms at the reading of the verdict, crying. He was transferred to a mental health facility for evaluation. There was an initial evaluation date set for May 17th, 2022, to discuss his mental state, but that was delayed. Depending on medical findings, Michael could spend time in treatment centers or be released under specific conditions. Lauren's attorney, Bruce Nagel, said they were not happy with the verdict. If he was temporarily insane, why did he sit in that courtroom every day looking disheveled and looking like he was a crazy man? He did it because he put on a show, and the jury bought it, hook, line, and sinker. That's not temporary insanity. That is fraud. It's a ploy. It was a show, and he got away with it. Michael's attorney, however, said they were ecstatic with the verdict. For 2.5 years, Michael Barisone has been waiting to tell his story and let people know what happened to him, what these people did to him. For the first time, he's in a position where he'll be able to get his life back. Once the verdict came out, the dressage community fell silent. As Michael awaits further evaluation, Lauren seems to have taken a step back from social media and public life. Her social accounts state that she is a gun violence survivor, blogger, and political activist. On one of her accounts, she still lists Barisone Dressage as her training facility. As of May 18th, Michael Barisone was placed on a temporary suspension from the sport of dressage by Safe Sport. His new girlfriend, who owns a prominent horse supply shop, is working hard to help him put his life back together. She has since set up a GoFundMe, asking for donations to raise to help with farm upkeep and legal fees. And that's all for this episode. As always, I'd love to know what you think about this case. Let me know by joining the conversation on Instagram at Court Junkie, by tweeting me at Court Junkie Pod, or by emailing me at podcast@courtjunkie.com. Today's episode was researched and written by Law and Crime staff. To hear these episodes without the ads or to hear additional Court Junkie bonus content, check out my Patreon options by going to courtjunkie.com/support. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.
He gave me a book on art forgery. I found myself drawn to these old masters. How did these artists take paint from a palette, arrange it on a canvas? I began to unlock the secrets. I was a storehouse of knowledge of how to create an illusion, present it to a experienced expert, manipulate his mind, and convince him and bring him to the inevitable conclusion that the painting is genuine. We flooded the market with my paintings, and I couldn't believe what I did. I couldn't believe it. Then the dominoes started falling, and eventually the FBI were led to my door. They uncovered a mountain of evidence against me.
But they never actually got you. At this point, you've sold a lot. You've got like $1 million in cash. You sold one painting for $717,000. Why did it go away? Why did you never get indicted? And how are we having this conversation?
I guess that's the greatest story of all.
To hear how Ken Perrenny made millions in art forgery, dodged the mafia and the FBI, subscribe to the Jordan Harbinger Show and check out episode 282 in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.